What a gift, what a blessing to celebrate today the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. So buckle up, settle in, all right? I'm coming at you with theological crazy fists. If you don't know that reference, Jackie Moon, semi-pro. I can't help you if you don't know that. All right, here it is. Jesus Christ, really, truly, substantially present in the most holy Eucharist. He is really and truly substantially present in the Eucharist. He makes himself present in what looks like bread and wine, but what has actually become his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. So we can get technical, and the technical term is transubstantiation. But let me just use this phrase that the church also uses. The real presence. Capital R, capital P. The real presence of Jesus Christ. The real presence is the reason I'm a Catholic. It's the reason I'm a priest. It's the reason these priests are here. Jesus Christ, really present in the Eucharist. What a gift, what a blessing. Now, some of you might be like, yeah, Father, that's super basic. I mean, it does get more Catholic than the Eucharist. However, just last year, in August 2019, a Pew survey came out. You might have heard about this, you probably haven't. 7 in 10 Catholics, 69%, say they personally believe that during Catholic Mass, the bread and wine used in communion are, quote, symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So just 1/3 of U.S. Catholics, 31%, say that they believe that, quote, during Catholic Mass, the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus. 7 out of 10 Catholics don't believe that the Eucharist is really Jesus Christ. 7 out of 10. They believe that the bread and wine are symbols. That is a catastrophic failure on so many different levels, but mostly on our part as priests, who clearly have not taught well the faith to the faithful. And so let's not do that. Are they just symbols? Well, let me use a story, true story. Some of you have heard of Flannery O'Connor, right? She's the great Southern Gothic writer. She lived down in Savannah, Georgia. She's fantastic. You read her stuff, it's dark and twisted and always full of grace. She's great to read. So she happened when her literary star started rising. She happened to be invited, I think it was in New York, to a dinner party with socialites and literary figures who were well known, and they invited her because she was getting more and more famous. And the host of the party was a fallen away Catholic named Mary McCarthy. And the conversation, she knew that Flannery O'Connor was still a devout Catholic. So to draw her into the conversation, she said, well, let's steer this conversation toward the Eucharist. And Flannery writes about this story, so here her words. She said, well, toward morning, the conversation turned on the Eucharist, which I, being the Catholic, was obviously supposed to defend. Mary said when she was a child and received the host, she thought of it as the Holy Ghost, he being the most portable person of the Trinity, which I think is actually a great line. The Holy Ghost, the most portable person of the Trinity. Now, she thought of it as a symbol and implied that it was a pretty good one. I then said, in a very shaky voice, well, if it's a symbol, to hell with it. That was all the defense I was capable of. But I realize now that this is all I will ever be able to say about it outside of a story, except that it is the center of existence for me. All the rest of life is expendable. It is the center of existence for me. All the rest of life is expendable. That, my friends, is a woman whose heart had been formed in the faith of the church. Is it a mystery? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But not an impenetrable one. In fact, a mystery that is so full of meaning that words fail to describe it. And that's the gift of the Eucharist. Her whole life, Flannery O'Connor's life, it made sense because of the Eucharist. And by the way, there is more to say about it. So let me shamelessly appeal to authority. The great St. Thomas Aquinas, who in one line sums up the entire Eucharistic theology of the church. One line. And here it is. Verbum caro, verbo, panem verum carnem efficit. Got it? Sweet. Moving on. Okay, let's go. Verbum caro, verbo, panem verum carnem efficit. The word made flesh, by his word, makes true bread flesh. There it is. The word made flesh, by his word, makes true bread flesh. Why do we believe in the Eucharist? Why do we believe that the bread and the wine actually become the body and the blood of Jesus? Because the word made flesh, by his word, makes true bread flesh. The word made flesh. Friends, how was the universe created? Through the word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The word of God, it affects reality. It brings things into existence. And so when Jesus, when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, he causes that reality to come into existence. You hear it at every Mass. See, it's not the priest himself, me, Mark Lenneman, who's speaking those words. At that moment of consecration, the priest is speaking in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. It's Jesus' word, spoken, yes, through the priest, but it is Jesus, who is the high priest, who speaks those words and effects the change. Changes the bread substantially into his body, changes the wine substantially into his blood, so that he is really and truly present. And where do you hear those words for the first time? At the first Mass, Holy Thursday night. This is my body. This is my blood. Oh, he was speaking symbolically. That's what many, many of our Protestant brothers and sisters say. Well, with Flannery O'Connor, I'll say, if it's just a symbol, to hell with it. Because it's not just a symbol. And by the way, any honest reading of Scripture, any serious account of Scripture, just doesn't give us that symbolic option. Did you hear the gospel tonight? Every Catholic should know John 6 inside and outside. The whole chapter, we get just a snippet, but what a portion of John 6 do we get tonight? Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Sounds nice. Maybe it's symbolic. But then he goes on. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now look at the response. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, they know that he is not speaking symbolically because Jesus hasn't given that option. And Jesus doubles and triples and quadruples down. Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you. And by the way, in John's gospel, anytime you see Jesus say, amen, amen, I say to you, pay attention because he's bringing it. Amen, amen, I say to you, Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Jesus is serious. Serious, serious. This is why we believe that the Eucharist is really Christ. Because Jesus says it, and so we believe it. Keep it simple. Jesus says it, and so we believe it. Does it challenge us? Yeah, you bet. But thank God for that. Thank God for that. It should challenge us. Because if we don't worship a God who challenges us to go beyond our tiny understanding of him and of the world and of reality, then truly we worship a very, very small God. And in fact, St. Thomas Aquinas to the rescue yet again. Praestate fides supplementum, sensum defectui. Faith will supply the defect of the senses. It's an act of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. An act of faith in the Eucharist is an act of faith in Jesus Christ. Are we immersed in mystery? Yes. And that is a wonderful thing. It's the same mystery, my friends, that we profess as Christians, that we believe the second person of the Trinity came down from heaven and took on our human nature. If you can believe in that, and you have to if you're a Christian, then believing that Jesus couldn't create a new reality by which he would remain with us forever in the Eucharist, it's the same thing. It's the same power of love that draws close to us. It's the same mystery. And so we should say yes to it with great joy. St. Augustine, he says, God in his omnipotence could not give more. In his wisdom, knew not how to give more. In his riches, had not more to give than what he gives us in the Eucharist. Because it's his very self. Now, at the conclusion of this Mass, we're going to do something that hasn't happened on this campus in my 14 years of being here, because I'm always at the summer camp when this solemnity happens. But we're going to do something that Catholics have done since 1264, when this solemnity was instituted by Pope Urban IV. We're going to do a Eucharistic procession around the campus. We're going to take our Eucharistic Lord, we're going to leave the chapel, and we're going to process around the campus, following him, blessing, stopping occasionally, blessing various places. We're going to take Jesus for a walk. It's good, and it's important. You've never done that before, most likely, so it's going to be new. The procession will be good. But I want to say this. It's what we should do after every Mass, and not just after Corpus Christi. After every Mass, turn around and see the verse that's on the balcony. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give. We receive Jesus. It's the best gift that could be given. But then we're challenged to give that gift away, to take Jesus out of this chapel, to bring him into our world. And if you're paying attention at all, you ought to know the world needs Jesus. It couldn't be much more obvious. To bring him into our world, to bring him into our city, to bring him into our neighborhood, to bring him into our homes, We receive him so that we might give him to others. Every ending of Mass should be a Eucharistic procession, because we are drawn in through the Eucharist to become Christ's very body ourselves. St. Augustine, he said, with every other type of food, we take it in and it becomes part of us. But with the Eucharist, we take it in and we become part of it. Friends, let's not ever take for granted such a great gift. We are sent at the end of Mass. We are commissioned. The greatest gift that has ever been given is ours to receive. May we be absolutely thrilled at the gift of being welcomed in by Jesus. But may we also be equally responsible to bring him to a world that needs him now more than ever. Let's open our hearts wide. Believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. It is the reason we are here. It is the reason for the church. It is the reason that we worship Jesus Christ, really, truly, substantially present in the Most Holy Eucharist.